Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're so thankful for you tuning in. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program. It is our purpose to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we do say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject, and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, certainly let us hear from you. You can contact us with the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Paul and Silas had preached the Word of God under difficult and dangerous conditions in Thessalonica. But it was not in vain, for when Paul later writes to the church at Thessalonica, here's what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. He said, "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe." It was in the synagogue that Paul reasoned with the Jews from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer for sin and be raised to life for their justification. And the account that we have of this in Acts 17, in those first four verses, we see that his preaching caused some to believe, but there were some that were not so persuaded, but they became envious. They gathered a mob made up of evil men of the baser sort, and they set all of the city on an uproar through vicious assaults on the Christians. The preaching troubled the people, but uncontrolled mob demonstrations against these faithful men of God offered no further possibility for them to preach. So under the darkness of night, the brethren sent Paul and Silas to Berea. And it's here that they enter into the synagogue of the Jews, and they preach the gospel of God, which many believed. And as Acts 17, verses 11 and 12 says, they received the word with all readiness of mind. And two, Luke, that writes the book of Acts, he informs us of the superior fair-mindedness of the Bereans, especially compared to the Thessalonians, when he said in verse 11, "They searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." See, exactly what were they doing when they were searching the Scriptures? Well, evidently, the Thessalonians did not react in this way to the same message. These at Berea did not resent what they heard, but they eagerly received it, and they were willing to examine it carefully in order that they might know the truth. So their action in examining the Scriptures as the standard of moral and religious truth is certainly to be sure whether they were hearing truth or error from Paul. Surely that shows their fair-mindedness. They examined. And that word examined is an interesting word, especially in the context of which it's being used here. The word examined is really a judicial term. And according to A.T. Robinson in his dictionary, he says, it's to sift up and down, make careful and exact research as in legal processes. Another authority is Vine, W.E. Vine, in his Dictionary of New Testament Words, and he says this word means a legal term among the Greeks denoting the preliminary investigation for gathering evidence for the information of the judges. So we see that what these Bereans were doing is they were with unbiased minds, showing no partiality, acting as judges to determine truth for their souls. So Paul's preaching created the kind of disciples here in Berea that certainly makes up for excellent churches. The Christian who doesn't study, the Christian that doesn't examine the scriptures, they're in dire need. The benefits in having the truth, there are many. The one that doesn't grow in this is described for us in Hebrews 5. Let's go turn down and notice, begin reading with verse 12. "For though beset this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So see, here are those that are dull of hearing. They're needing someone to teach them again the first principles of the gospel. See, Christians must learn that beneficial Bible study is conditional. All of the hindering factors in a person's life has to be removed. Peter instructed in 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." James said it like this in James 1 verse 21, "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So we see in developing the will to know and to do the truth, one has to be willing to give up whatever hinders that might prevent success in this endeavor, and to give the time to examine the scriptures. So indeed, beneficial Bible study is conditional. But also, beneficial Bible study is objective. Peter shows the true intention in learning the truth is to grow. He shows how that one receives the truth as a newborn. And this word newborn, we know all families distinctly know the difference between a baby and a newborn one. As to his feeding times, Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, "that you grow thereby." So it shows what happens when one receives the word as a newborn. This sort of Bible study is with desire for God's approval. Remember 1 Timothy 2 and verse 15, "study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." See, this is the highest objective that one can possibly have. Studying scripture creates the will to not sin. David showed the protection that it gave unto him in Psalms 119, verse 11, when he said, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." So the need is great, and the hour is late for some of us to become serious in our studies to learn truth through the process of examination. Truth has nothing to fear, and as Jesus says, truth will make us free. It was Paul's prayer concerning the Ephesians that we read in Ephesians chapter 1, let's start our reading at verse 15 and read through verse 20. "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his coming, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So we see his prayer for these Ephesian Christians was that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that their eyes of their understanding being enlightened so that they might know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and what the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. What blessings there are for us in the full knowledge of what Paul speaks about here in these verses that we've read. Bible study is enhanced because of the assuring characteristics of God's word. We know that it lives. We know that it's active. We know that it corrects. And we know that it encouragingly motivates us. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and what we read there in verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 1, that the word of God abides and endures forever. He says that in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Truly we see that Jesus tells us that his words are by no means going to pass away. In Matthew 24, verse 35, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In no way will the word of God be invalidated. In John 10, verse 35, Jesus said, God's word cannot be broken. That word broken in that verse, it means to annul, to subvert, to do away with, to deprive of authority. See, the words of the Lord cannot be invalidated. The words of the Lord are pure, and they are inspired of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto all good works. Think of the exceeding great and precious promises that are so characteristic of God's precious and God's pure word. So having carefully examined and searched the scriptures, we need to be sure to abound in them. We need to defend the truth at all times. As Jude mentioned in verse 3, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, knowing that it will be the basis of which we'll all be judged. Jesus said, the words that I've spoken unto you, the same will judge you in the last day. John 12, verse 48. Let us not fall prey to fairy tales and to fables, but rather let us lean on the eternal word of the eternal God. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.